appreciate that.
Yeah.
And it's good to be back in church and kind of get back to home church for a little bit. And a couple of weeks ago, I was teaching along the lines of three. I wanted to cover some ground on three different personalities in the Bible. We wanted to talk about the Holy Ghost of God, that personality, His personality, who He is, what He is, how He operates and what He's doing. And we covered a lot of ground last week, but it's very hard to cover all the ground there is to cover in one 40-minute lesson. So we'll look again at a few things that I couldn't cover last time, this time, and next time we meet, possibly we'll be looking at another personalities in the Bible that play a major role. And we know enough about human personalities, okay? So I'm trying to give you a little insight into other personalities that are not human, but have an identity with humanity. Holy Ghost, obviously, yes, last time and today. Then I want to talk about the archangels and the angels, and some people call it angelology, and I just want to talk about their role and what they do and how they stand for God. And a lot of times we miss this. They never draw attention to themselves, always to God, the Heavenly Father. So we'll talk about that in a lesson. And then lastly, I want to talk about another spirit and personality, and that would be the Antichrist, if you please, the spirit of the Antichrist. We live in that day. So that's how the lessons will kind of unfold in a series of three or four lessons. And we'll learn about these other things. And so we're just humans. We're down here trying to have a human experience. Now, you may not realize this, but you really are a spiritual being. You have a spirit in you. It's called the human spirit or the spirit of man. And it's that spirit that's going to live someplace, somewhere throughout all eternity. Then the innermost seat of that thing is the soul of man. And you have a soul. It gives you your personality, how you think and how you feel, I should say. And we term that as the heart of man. And that's the very soul of man. And everybody can identify with that because we're human beings. And so, but enough on that. We'll get into that a little bit. And we know quite a bit about mankind because we are human. We're pretty ornery folks. Amen. So, but this morning I want you to take your Bible and turn to John chapter 14. And let me take your attention back to the Holy Spirit in John chapter 14. The book of John, St. John had a lot to say about the Holy Ghost of God, the work of the Holy Ghost, especially during the church age. Now, I want you to understand the Holy Ghost the Holy Spirit has been around just like God the Father and God the Son. And I don't want you to think that, they just now showed up or they just showed up some point in history. And no, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three in one. Amen. And we're just looking at their roles and the personality traits that characterize that. So I didn't bring 2 weeks ago's notes. These are fresh notes, and they'll continue my thought, the scriptural thoughts on the Holy Ghost. But in John 14, verse 16, the Bible says here, and Jesus is promising. By the way, when God promises something, He always comes through. He has never broken a promise. He has never lied to us. So you can depend on the promises of God. Another lesson in itself. But He said, He's promising here. He makes the promise of the Spirit. And you say, well, if the Spirit's always been around, well, He's going to take on a new role or a little more. And that's what we want you to see this morning. Some of those personality traits of the Holy Spirit in the age we live. And I pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but ye know Him, For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Let me stop there. And I don't know if you noticed the prayer of the President of the United States for the day of prayer. He left out God. He left out the Holy Ghost of God, and he left out the Lord Jesus Christ. And you may be wondering, why did he do this? It was a conscious mistake, because he does not believe in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, or the Holy Ghost of God. No place for him in his presidency, in his life. And so is it with most of the politicians, not all of them. Some of them are born again. Now, on the flip side of that, that's a political figure. Let me go to a sports character. Anthony Munoz. He's a Mexican football player. I heard him give his testimony today on the news. And you know what? He said, I'm not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost that lives inside me. Now, that man knew something about God and being redeemed by the grace of God and the blood of God, Holy Ghost of God. I'll try not to preach and keep it just strictly on teaching here. Get me wound up, Teddy. I'll be looking to ride that horse right all out in the glory. Amen. Huh? But I like what Joshua said. I don't care what you say and the gods of the land say. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. So I will pray the Father. Now look, he's praying for us. He's praying. He's the one mediator between man and God. And he is the man, Christ Jesus. He sits on the right hand of the Father to make intercession for you and I. So he's praying for us daily. And he has sent the Comforter. And we're well into the church period and church time. Some 2,000 plus years. And the Holy Ghost of God is still here today. He's still doing his work today. And one of his personality traits is he dwells inside of. We'll show a few verses. He comforts us, and that's probably the greatest thing. He's that comfort or that peace that passeth all understanding, the Holy Ghost of God. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit is characteristic of his work and operation, and I don't use those words lightly, his work and operation, work, the ministry of the church, operation, that operation made without hands, Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 and verse 11, if you're looking for the word operation, and he works that in this age, and the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God in the believer is a characteristic of the Holy Ghost and his work and operation today and until the Lord comes back. That scripture is 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. It says what? Well, the Apostle Paul wants to teach you something. He asks you a question. You do it all the time. Your kids will come to you about something. Mom, what about this? And dad, or dad, come to dad. Dad, what about? Well, what do you think? He said, what's that about? Well, he probably only told you 100 times. You know, would you stop and just think about that? I know we don't think anymore. We run right to Google or YouTube, and we push that in, and we see what they say. I had another quote for you. Does anybody here like fighting? Well, you're in a battle, whether you like it or not. You're in a spiritual battle, but I'm talking about the physical battle. There's a fighter out there, and I like to follow it sometimes. I don't intend on making a debut anytime soon, but as a fighter. But there's a fighter that had a quote about God and the Holy Ghost. And he says, me and Jesus Christ are good buddies. Me and God are buddies. He left out the Holy Ghost and he says, us gods know each other and respect each other. Now that guy's delusional. He's been hit in the head too many times. Say, who was that? It's that Irishman from Ireland over there, Conor McGregor. And, I guess they say the Irish would be running the world today if it wasn't for whiskey. Amen. He's an idiot. You say, he's not saved. No, he's not saved. And he had no business making a statement like that, but he was testifying to the fact that he thought he was a god. I got news for him. My God will let him get his head knocked off probably in the next fight. He's about done anyway, huh? The world don't have much to say about for God, the Holy Ghost of God, or the Lord Jesus Christ. But the believer, did you see that text? When I read that in John 14, he said, I'll pray the Father and the Comforter will come, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. You need to see that. The world does not, will not, don't want anything to do with receiving God or the Holy Ghost of God. You say, why? It's in darkness. It's in blindness. And the world, as humanity is concerned, belongs to the devil. You're under condemnation. You're born in this world. Say, oh, poor little innocent baby. Yeah, now God made a way. We covered all that before. And we've covered it many times. Babies that don't understand under the age of some accountability, they can't discern between the knowledge of good and evil, they're safe. And if they should die, something should happen to them, they'll step into the presence of God. Don't you ever worry about that. Proof verses on that. It's David and the son that he had with Bathsheba the first time. And God took the child and David made a great statement. It's a doctrinal statement for all kinds, all time and all mankind. He says, look, the child can't come back to me, but I can go to the child. And he was a man after God's own heart. So don't get confused there. But the world receiveth not, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him. Now, thank God, you're saved today, you know him. Amen. Now, you may be a weak Christian, but if you know you're saved, you know him. And God can fortify with the Word of God your faith, strengthen you with the Word of God, and it will cause you to grow. And you won't even know you're growing till about a year or two down the road when something that come along didn't make you stumble or quit or get out or blame God and say, 3 years ago I'd have just quit. Say, what is that? You're growing. Amen. You may not know it, but you're growing. But he says, but ye know him, for he dwelleth in you and shall be in you. And I want you to notice that he dwelleth in you. Say, what is that? That's the Holy Ghost. Doesn't have a tabernacle. The Holy Ghost doesn't have a house. So he, in this age, dwells in the believer. Those people that come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Ghost moves in and takes up residency in your house. You say, well, where's he at? He has knit himself to your spirit because their spirit, he's a spirit, you're a spirit. Now, upon knitting himself to your spirit, you become one with him. Now, your old carnal flesh is still going to want fried chicken. Spirit don't need none, don't want none. Your old carnal flesh is going to want the third cup of coffee this morning and a donut. But the spirit, you understand what I'm saying. There's a part of you, the spiritual part of you, that's knit to the Holy Ghost of God. And when he knits to himself to your spirit, he in turn saves your soul from dying and going to hell. Amen. But he's indwelling you. Now, he never does. Now, let me give you a couple of thoughts. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I was in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, but I want you to go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16. And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Another question. Paul taught with questions. Say, the gas gauge is on empty, Dad. You know, they want to borrow the car. Here's the key, son. Go ahead, take the truck. Take the truck today. It runs pretty good. They look at you, and they come back in. Dad, the truck's on empty. Do you think it needs some gas? I don't know. What do you think? You say, well, that's sarcasm. Well, if you want to drive, you want that luxury that Indiana calls it, your privilege to drive, you'll have to execute the responsibilities that come along with driving, like buy the tires, buy the insurance. You say, well, your kids never did drive. I didn't think I was going to get rid of some of them, man. They, they knew I was going to let them pay their own way. Finally got rid of Jeremiah. Man, I'm just kidding. He's sitting here. I'll pick on him. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? None. Implied answer. For ye are the temple of the living God. Talking to saved folks. As God has said, I will dwell in them. Who? The believer. And walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. 17, verse 17, 6, 17. Wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Now, that's a physical, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. One of the hardest things that a child of God ever does, once he gets saved and learns that the Holy Ghost of God is living on the inside of him, is to quit doing the things the flesh wants to do. Cuss, drink beer, run around, party, huh? Say, was it all that bad? Well, it can get bad in a hurry. See, what's it do? It brings a reproach upon the name of Christ, and it's going to cause some weak Christian to stumble if you keep on living like the dog you got saved from being, huh? So the Bible says, and will be a father unto you, and he wants some changes made. And ye shall be my sons and daughters. But what I want you to see is the indwelling of the Spirit of God. He dwells in your temple, your body today. And it's easy to grieve him. It's easy to quench him. You got to be careful. And the things that we want to do in the flesh grieve and quench the Holy Ghost of God. And here's where the problem comes in. When we get saved, we're not real bright. We wasn't real bright to start with. Amen's all over the house. So I got through high school. Yeah, I know, me too, with F's, D's, whatever, I don't know. I got that piece of paper that says I graduated, whatever it was. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying we're not real bright when we get saved, so we don't know what the Spirit requires. Until we get into the Word of God, get under the Word of God, get under the teaching, the preaching of the Word of God, where men have given themselves to the Word of God, and the operation of the teaching and the preaching takes hold, and you begin to learn some things about God. You say, wow, you know, my tobacco chewing might grieve the Spirit of God. But man, I sure do enjoy that male pouch tobacco. Man, I got that apple flavor today. I put me a little down in there, and I'm chewing on that, and smoking my Lucky Strikes and chewing my tobacco at the same time. Amen's all over the house. And none of that's going to send you to hell. I want you to understand that. But it's just something you enjoy that's probably going to get in the way of your service for God. You ever see somebody witness somebody and the back of juice running out of the side of his mouth and wiping and take a minute spitting, or better yet, spitting in a can? You say, have you said, it's all over the South. I've preached all down in the South. I preached down in the South. And some of those same churches that I go into, Brother Fletcher, me and you wouldn't be allowed to preach or teach or sing because we don't have a white shirt on, brother. Nobody here. You had to have a white long sleeve shirt. You better make sure it's buttoned up. But they'll stand out on the front porch and smoke their Lucky Stripes and Pall Mall and all that. They got a white shirt on, buttoned up. You say, what is that? It's cronyism. But you don't know any of that stuff. Somebody goes to teaching the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, and then you start looking at your life and you get that verse over there, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies. That's the flesh thing. Your body is a living sacrifice to the Lord God. So you say, oh, he wants this thing sacrificed. Yeah, there'll be some things you'll have to lay down. There'll be some things you can't do anymore, or you shouldn't do. And that's why when a Christian gets saved young, gets under the Word of God, gets in the house of God, they get an idea. And they'll get tempted. They'll get out there and they say, man, I wonder what beer tastes like. And then they'll say, well, I wonder what Seagram 7 tastes like. I can tell you it tastes like all the other craziness because it doesn't do much for you, amen, if anything for you. I know you hear this is worldly reason. Man, if rubbing alcohol is good for the outside of you, then drinking alcohol will be good for the inside of you. No, that's the world's reasoning. Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Those who deceive thereby are not wise. Now, you say, well, will it send me to hell if I take a drink? No, it won't send you to hell. Just lets God know and me know and anybody else know where you're at spiritually. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm just saying you got a flesh problem. Amen. Not only with that stuff, with eating, same way, with anything you can take of. You say, why? It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. 2 Timothy 1:14, the scripture says, that good thing, 2 Timothy 1:14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Clearly we have been taught three times with scripture in the New Testament that the believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of God. So, well, I can't tell nobody's in me. I'm living the good life. Well, you need to stop and know that I am God, the scripture says. You need to say, well, yeah, there's something in me that says don't do that, but do this. And you need to get in the book and let it spiritually mature you into the Christian that God wants you to be. Now, when we look at the indwelling of the Holy Ghost of God, as compared to Old Testament passages that reference Israel and not the New Testament believer. Now, here's where people get into trouble. Oh, I believe the Bible from cover to cover, Genesis to Revelation. And then over here it says, and then remember we went through that whole thing on rightly dividing. And you've got to get the history right. You've got to get who he's talking to right. You've got to get the context right, basically. So that passage, let me give you a reference. Ezekiel 36:27. That's Old Testament prophet, and Ezekiel's writing to the nation of Israel in her sinful condition, and she's strayed from God. She's just about going off, ready to go off the scene. And then there's some prophecy in the book for the nation of Israel and how God is not going to be finished with the nation of Israel. I'm giving you background on the verse. This verse is not for the church age. Now, it's for church age doctrine if you're trying to learn about Israel. But it's not for the believer today trying to walk a spiritual life. There's a spiritual application, but the doctrinal application, you have to at least acknowledge that or you'll get wrong. You'll be trying to teach something God said to a Jew that affects him back in history and is going to affect him prophetically in the future, but has nothing to do with you, a Gentile saved in grace. So got to be careful. So, and if you don't get it right, you won't believe right. Now let me give you the verse, Ezekiel 36:27. And I will put my spirit within you. And you're, oh man, that's good. God's going to put his spirit in me. Be careful. Watch out. And cause you to walk in my statutes. Well, okay, we're good so far. And ye shall keep my judgments and do them. But if you go back to Ezekiel 36 and read verse 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, and 30, you'll find out he's not talking to the church or anybody saved in the church. He's only talking to Israel. So you can't claim that verse. The only way you can claim that verse today is to make a spiritual application, not a doctrinal one, because doctrinally it don't fit you. Spiritually it will. You can spiritualize anything. And that's the trouble with that kind of teaching and preaching. When somebody's spiritualizing everything, it's untelling what you're going to end up believing. And that's why we have so many different denominational differences. People coming across the Word of God differently and not actually rightly dividing the Scriptures so they make good sense. Now that other verse is Isaiah 63:11. And I'm not turning to all these passages. I just want to give you an idea of the reference of the Old Testament passages dealing with the Spirit. But Isaiah 63:11, then he remembered the days of old, Moses, context is set by the verse, and his people saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him? Say, well, there it is. There's the Holy Ghost. He's working the operations like he does in the New Testament. No, he's not. The Holy Ghost in the Old Testament, although he could get in a man, he could get on a man, but he didn't have to stay in the man there's a big difference between you getting saved today and the Holy Ghost coming inside of you. You say, why? Because He's never going to leave you and never going to forsake you. He's knit to your spirit. It's one of the characteristics of the Holy Ghost in this age. He comes in and seals you. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. In the Old Testament, there was no sealing. Hence, your Bible says in Psalms 51, I'm still in the Old Testament. I'm still quoting Old Testament prophets. We learned something about the Holy Ghost, but it doesn't fit the church. Watch this. David prayed, cast me not away. Psalms 51 and verse 11. He was in referencing to the sin that he was taken in with Bathsheba. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. He worried that the Holy Ghost of God would depart from him. Guess what? In the day and age that we live, the Holy Ghost isn't going to depart from you. And you can go out and commit adultery. He still ain't leaving. Oh, Brother Phil, you're blaspheming. No, I'm just telling you the truth. Now, he is not going to be pleased with you. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, if you want to pull that off and say, well, I'm saved, I'm good, I'm not going to hell, and you want to go out and have an adulterous affair with somebody, the pastor and me and the other pastors will set you outside the church. Right. Say why? If you don't get it right. You say why? 1 Corinthians chapter 5. That man that was taken in fornication, having an affair, shacking up with his father's wife. And they set him outside the church that the flesh may be destroyed, that the soul might be saved. Say, what happened? You see, he was saved, but he was sinning. You say, well, he just didn't know any better. Well, he soon found out, because in 2 Corinthians, he repents of that thing and comes back, and they restore him to the church. That's how it works in the church age. He never lost his salvation. Now, there are plenty of people out there in pulpits across the land in different denominations that are teaching, well, if he did that, he is lost. He's headed for hell. Not necessarily. Now, I can't look at you and tell if you're really saved or not. But God can. And if somebody is taken in a sin or a fault, we're supposed to try to restore such an one. But boy, you don't see a lot of that today. And if they just refuse and throw their hand up, no, I think having two or three wives is okay, then you'll probably have to set them outside the church and let them go figure it out for themselves. And if they really are a child of God, the Bible says that God chasteneth every son whom he loveth. And the chastening will start. You say, well, what happens if there's no chastening? Well, if there's no chastening, the Bible says, then ye are bastards and not sons. In other words, you're an illegitimate Christian. You wasn't really saved, and you can go on and have your cake and eat it too, and everything will be just fine. Well, say, what is that? That's straight teaching this morning is what that is. And we don't see and hear too much of that. You won't hear it on evangelistic gospel TV. Amen. The Old Testament saint versus the New Testament saint. One is in the bride of Christ. That's New Testament. When we say the bride, they'll make up the people, the body that is called the bride that will be married to the Lord Jesus Christ. Marriage supper of the Lamb, we teach. So just in reference, one is the bride of Christ. The other is a proselyte Jew. When I had the chart up, before the cross, if somebody wanted to come to God, they came God's way. They came the Jewish way. Because salvation is of the Jews, the Bible said. So if you wanted to get to know God, you couldn't come Allah's way. You couldn't come Dagon's way. You couldn't come Moloch's way. You couldn't come Baal's way. Oh, those are good religions, big religions of the day. And they were of the devil. And they did not get you to God. Just like today, there's plenty of religions. You name them. Pick them. Say, well, I don't believe right or not. Well, it might be your job with a Bible in one hand and clear scriptures to see if they do or they don't. And if they don't believe in salvation by grace through faith, then they're none of his. People say, oh, but they look good. They act good. They do good deeds and good works. I'm sorry. If they deny the Lord Jesus Christ that bought them, they're lost, religious, and headed for hell.
Amen.
Amen, brother. You say, well, how do you know? Word of God and the Holy Ghost of God. I'll guarantee you our president claims to be a churchman. Number one, it would be politically correct for him to do that because he wants the vote of deceived and delusional Christians. Huh? Yeah, that's politics at its best. It would behoove people, if they wanted a movement to follow them, to be pro-Christian, even if they never met the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, why? All politics, that's why. But it's your job as a saved person with the Holy Ghost of God dwelling inside of you to be able to discern that with the Word of God so you can make an intelligent choice when it comes time to cast your vote. Amen. Oh, I don't know, brother. Well, one, the Christians saved today are in the bride of Christ. The others are proselyte Jews. One can lose the Spirit, Old Testament. The other is sealed with the Spirit. Now, I've been talking about being sealed. You'll never find the word sealed by the Spirit of God in the Old Testament for any believer any place. But as soon as you step into the New Testament, it's under the New Covenant and the New situation for the church. Take your Bible and go to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and verse 14. The Apostle Paul covers this not only in the book of Ephesians, but other places also. David did not enjoy this. Saul of old did not enjoy this. All the kings, Ahab and I can't even name them. All the old tests, they didn't enjoy it. Any of this doctrine. But look, if you would, he says in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, in whom ye also trusted. Who? Ye that are saved, trusted. And that trust is linked to your faith in Christ. And in the context is people that have been saved, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word. And so the word of truth is the engrafted word which can and will save you, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believe, talking to you and I, we're believers, ye, watch it, this has never been seen before in Scripture, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, verse 14, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. Nobody ever before the New Testament and this side of the cross ever was sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what? You're sealed today. Well, I'm going to go out there and sin, and man, I'll just jump out of the hand of God. You can whistle that tune if you want to, but it's against the Scriptures, not what the Scripture says. People think a lot of things, and they think they're going to do a lot of things, but you're not going to go contrary to the Word of God. Take your Bible and go to Romans chapter 3, and this has been dealt with. People say, well, I'll believe what I want to believe. Okay, I got you. I'm feeling you. But let me show you what the Bible says about this in Romans chapter 3. Paul's telling these Roman people here, he said, verse 1, what advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? And again, he's teaching them with two questions. In other words, if you ain't got this figured out, put it up in neutral and let me do the driving for you here a few minutes. Verse 2, much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. He's talking about the Jews and the Jews versus Gentiles. He says, for what if some, these are Jews, did not believe? Another question. And you're going to run across people all of your life that's going to say, well, I don't believe that. Just because you're a Christian, I don't believe that. I've lived like this all my life. Why, I don't believe that. Watch what he says. What if some did not believe? He's going to answer the question. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Another question. Now, if you're just not really just plain brain dead, you would say, no, he's God. It's the Word of God. And that's what he said. God forbid. In other words, no. Yea, let God be true, but every man, could I say that again? Every man a liar. as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. Brother, you can believe what you want to believe. Ain't going to change the fact of God 5 minutes. Ain't going to change the Word of God 5 minutes. Ain't going to change the Holy Ghost of God 5 minutes. Ain't going to change this book 5 minutes. You can believe what you want to believe. And there's plenty of folks out there believing what they want to believe. But I'm telling you what, they will answer to that thing on their own merit. Amen? I'm glad my trust is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my advocate is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad that my adversary can't sway him, and he might sway me or try to sway me. But listen, I'm sealed until the day of redemption. No other person on the face of the earth except a church-age saint of God has been sealed with the Holy Ghost. Now, you'll get people to run over there to the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to show you, preacher, where you can lose it. I'm going to show you right there where you can lose it. And he'll get himself all doctored and confused because it wasn't even to him in the church. It was to a Jew over here in the Old Testament. So you got to be careful. Say, what is that? 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, clearly stated, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And most of those people that go against the word of God and the doctrine of the word of God don't even read their Bible through one time a year, if they've ever read it through one time a year. Let alone if they read it, they don't study it. Well, I've got Bible-believing friends and people that don't read it now and don't study it now. Say, what are you saying? But they'll be the first one to disagree with you and say, I don't believe that. Say, what do you do? There's nothing I can do. I just keep telling the truth. I just keep preaching, saying what I always said. Old Brad Talley, he was an evangelist that traveled many years for Lester Roloff. He was a good carpenter, and he built some of them homes for Brother Roloff and helped out down there. He'd come in to preach for Brother Jack Grigsby about 1975, 76, and I remember him coming in there. And I remember him jumping down behind the pulpit and said, Brother Jack, just keep shooting in the hole. Now, he was a hillbilly. Keep shooting in the hole. Keep shooting in the hole. They're in there. Keep shooting in the hole. Just shoot in the hole. And I'm thinking, what's he saying? He was saying, preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. That doctrine, that's just how he said it. Because, you know, when you're a kid, do you ever go groundhog hunting? Groundhog get down in that hole, man. I'm about out of time here to tell you groundhog story. Man, my dad gave me a 20-gauge shotgun when I was 13 years old. I thought I was Rambo. And I never even heard of Rambo. I seen a groundhog go in a hole up there on the side of the hill. He said, shoot everyone you can. That's what he told me. And he forgot to tell me, you have got to be within about 20 yards of it if you expect to kill it with a 20-gauge shotgun and number 6 bird shot. So I can see it 100 yards off. I sneak up to about 80 yards, and it's got a hammer on. I got one shell, and it's a single shot. Bought it at Western Auto, probably $30. Cock that thing, and I'm 45, 50, 60 yards away. Boom! That groundhog disappeared down in that hole, and I said, man. And I'd never heard of Brad Talley at that time. I went up there, and I said, I may not have got him, but I'm going to make his ears ring. I loaded that thing up again, and I got within about a foot of that hole, and boom! And man, that was so exhilarating. I put another shell in it and shot again in there. Brother, it was so good. I put another shell in there, and I shot in there. Boom! Man, I was having a 13-year-old boy having the time of his life. Say, what was he doing? Shooting in the hole. I come back about 3 weeks later. I check that hole, and something was stinking down in there. Say, what happened? I think I fragged him. I think he died of a concussion. Now, I got more stories shooting that 20-gauge, but I better quit right there and let the pastor come. You say, what are you saying? Keep teaching the truth. Just teach the truth. We'll grow with it. We'll get stronger with it. We'll be better Christians for it. We'll love God better, serve God better. Amen. All right. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a chance to teach and preach your word. And Lord, bless the preaching today. Bless all the mothers and all that's going on here today in the church. And our visitors and those that get baptized and all that should be happening today. Bless now in Jesus' name we pray and ask it. Amen. Good morning. God bless you. Amen.